watching an ant. This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today, watching an ant. As I was sitting on the meditation path the other day, I was sitting on the meditation bench and just relaxing, looking around the countryside and seeing how grand and broad and beautiful everything is. Here in the high desert, we have a variety of creatures, a variety of critters, and all these critters live their life in beautiful harmony with themselves. And as I was sitting on the bench, I looked down and I saw an ant, one solitary ant, and he was carrying the tiniest colorful blossom of a flower. And he didn't seem to know where he was going, but yet he was heading in a direction. And as he headed in the direction he was going, bumps came along, and he had to walk around the bumps. And when he got to the other side of the bump, he went the direction he had been going. Sometimes he'd go over the top when it was convenient, and other times he'd just go around it, and always ending up on an exact course of where he had been before, to straight ahead to where he's going. Now, this little ant is very tiny compared to the large surface of ground over which he was walking. And I couldn't see anywhere in the surroundings where there might be an ant hole or where his house might be or where he might be going. But I watched the ant. And I saw other ants too. And other ants would walk across the trail of this ant and be going in different directions. And they would be going different pathways. And in fact, they were going right and left and backward and forward all around the path of this ant. And this ant was going straight ahead, and whatever straight ahead to it meant. And as it walked along, it went up over sticks, it went through all sorts of gyrations. And out of curiosity, I walked over to take a closer look and see where he was going. And as he was walking along, I noticed up the road of peace was a little tiny mound. And it was really over the edge of the road. The ant couldn't see it from wherever it was, but it went directly to this mound. And when it arrived at the mound, it took the little flower piece down into the anthill with it for whatever purpose it was going to use it. And I looked back over the path that the ant had come. And for an ant, it was a great distance. For me, it was merely a dozen strides. But for an ant, it was a great distance. And I looked back, and I saw where the bench was, where I was sitting, and I saw where the ant hill is, and I saw how the ant had walked almost a absolute perfect path directly to the ant home. Now here he had this little token that he was bringing in. For him, it was about two-thirds of his size, and he carried it. And that meant that he had his mouth busy or his couple of arms busy that he couldn't walk with, whatever it may have been. I like to think perhaps it was holding it in his mouth. And then he was walking along, following an inner compass, guiding him to where he was going. Now, when he left his ant hill, he had some sort of a sense, perhaps, or magnetic activity or whatever it was, but that directed him back once he had gone to where he was going to go to get something to bring back. Now he could go and look around. Leaving the anthill was no problem, because there he would just wander around to wherever it was that he was going to go. And when he found something, then he would stop and he would turn on his compass or turn on his scent. And he would turn in the direction of his compass or his scent and march directly home with whatever wonderful treasure that he had found. Now the ants know this, or they have this, or whether it's scent or whether it's magnetic compass or whatever it may be, it's something very special within them. It's something that is part of the nature of the ant. Just like we think about homing pigeons, they can fly a direct flight home. And we know of other birds, they fly cross-country. Why they fly so far, why they go so far away from home is always a question. But they fly cross-country to go back to their nesting ground, to go back to their mating grounds, to go back to whatever it is that is part of their lifestyle. We have something in us that's much like this, and we have sort of jaded it over. We've covered it over. We've ignored it for a long, long time. Some people pay attention to it, but most people don't. We have within us all knowledge. We have within us all of the wisdom that we could ever want to use. We have within us all the strength that we could ever need to accomplish anything that we want to accomplish. We have within us the vision to see, to know, to understand. We have within us the opportunity to be the allness that we are. Just like this ant, having these little codes within it, guiding it to where it's going. This little ant that is so tiny in the scale of things. Microbes are even tinier, bacteria, germs and things like that, they're even tinier. And we don't realize it. We have no idea about it. And yet, there is an intelligence within them that guides them to wherever they want to go. Now, guiding them to wherever they want to go, to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish, seems like a most miraculous thing. And yet, we know that's true. We see it. It's obvious. We can see the ant having his homing beacon, his scent or his compass, whatever he's using. We see him guiding him home. Certainly with the birds, it's not a scent, because scent couldn't cross over those thousands of miles that they fly. And within us, it's certainly not a scent, and it's not a magnetic compass. It's something far greater and far more wonderful. What is it that it is within us? What is it that is guiding us to this inner awareness? I doubt that the ant sits down and says, what's guiding me back to my ant home is a scent. Or what's guiding me back to my ant home is some inward compass that I have. And I don't bother with the compass until I'm ready to go home. And at that time, then I turn the compass on, and then I know exactly where to go. It leads me right straight home. Like my son is a pilot, a very extraordinary pilot. And I'm a pilot too, but I don't have the gift that he has, or I do, but I don't use it, I guess. And he has a gift that he knows which is north and south and east and west. He knows exactly which direction he wants to go. You could put him somewhere and then say, okay, go home. And he might not know whether he's north, south, east, or west of his home. He might have been somehow restrained from knowing where he was. But he would just stop a moment and think, listen to his inner guidance. And as he listened to his inner guidance, he went right on home to wherever it was that he was. He went right on to his inner self, right on to that inner realization of who he was, and marched wonderfully there to wherever it was that he wanted to go. He would fly directly to his home without having any idea whether it was one direction or another. He knew by the seat of his pants. Now, is he so unusual? Well, he's unusual in the fact that he knows it and follows it. He believes in himself. He believes he knows which directions he wants to go. He believes it, and he does it. Do we believe and know that we too know which direction we want to go? That we too know who we are? That we too believe in ourselves 100%? Do we have that confidence? Now the ant and the bee and the birds and all the creatures that use this wonderful homing sequence, they don't have a belief in it. They are it. They live it. It's part of their nature. It's part of their developed nature. It's part of their creative nature of just who they are. And because it's part of their creative nature, they flow with it and they go with it and they are it. Now, they haven't developed many higher senses that we as human beings think that we have. And truly, we have developed many higher senses. But what they have developed is to listen to who they are. Because this is for their very survival. This is their very lifestyle itself. And our lifestyle has been to believe in other people. Our lifestyle has been to believe in a compass. Our lifestyle is to believe in gadgets that lead us where we want to go. And there are many times, you might say, think of the Eskimos up in the Arctic areas and how they would be walking around. They would go out hunting for whatever they could find, and a snowstorm would come up and it would be a blinding snowstorm and they couldn't see anything, and their way was completely obliterated, and they had no idea what was going on. They had to curl up in a ball for a little while and let the storm pass, if it will. And when the storm had passed, then they could start once again on their way. But many of the Eskimos have so well trained themselves that they listen to an inner drummer, an inner wisdom. And as any of the weather, which is inclement unexpectedly so often, as any of the weather that comes up and blinds them, they have an inner sense that they have developed that guides them like a homing beacon to their home. Now, their home may be an ice house made out of ice and looking just like the rest of the landscape. Their home may be some structure that they've built, but they know where it is. And you very seldom hear, and I don't remember ever hearing of it, but you very seldom hear of an Eskimo losing his way home. Even though he walks across the trackless, blizzardy areas of the Northlands, even though he's going in one direction without a thought of where he came from, when it's time to go home, he just turns in the direction of home and goes there. He, like the ant, has developed that capacity to know which direction he wants to go. And if you miss the direction you want to go by just a tiny degree, it can send you off into a far distant area, far away from where your home is, far away from where you want to go. And Eskimos cannot afford that. Ants cannot afford that. Birds cannot afford to be lost. Birds can have their homing mechanism occluded in such a way that it no longer functions for them. But this is something that's done to them. Their natural capacity is always to find their way. We can train ourselves to find our way too. It's not a matter of finding our way home. It's not a matter of finding our way through the trackless deserts and through the trackless wastelands of the Northland. It's just a matter of listening to who we are within. And when we listen to who we are within, it will always lead us in the direction that is most beneficial to us. It'll always lead us in the direction that will take us home. It'll take us to where our treasure is. It'll take us to where our goal is, but where we want to arrive. Whether we want to arrive at the successes of life, the joys of life, the happinesses of life, the wholeness of life, wherever it may be, it guides us there. Oh, we think of these Eskimos and in their wastelands, in their primitive lands, and they don't have large communities around them all the time. They don't have doctors and nurses and hospitals, and they don't have educators. They don't have a lot of things. And when children are trained by their parents in the art that their parent has learned, the children sometimes learn quickly because they watch closely. And sometimes they learn slowly because their attention is taken by other things. This is how we are in walking our inner path. Our attention is diverted by other things. We think we'll never make it because there are too many obstacles in the way. We'll never make it because it is too difficult to find. So few people find their inner self. We'll never make it because of, and we'll go on with all sorts of reasons. And the moment we stop it, and the moment we come like the diligent child who watches his father with love, with great desire to know, and with great enthusiasm, with great intention. And he watches everything that his father does, and he listens as his father talks. Not always understanding, but he listens. And in a very, very short time, this child learns the trade of the father, and learns it well, and learns all of the values and the nuances that make this father such a valuable and desirable person in whatever field he is. We learn when we listen within, when we treat, when we love our body, when we love this mind, when we love this brain, when we love this world, when we love this creation that we are. Every time we love ourselves and we love the world in which we are guided to do the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right purpose, and we are never misled. We are always guided aright, and in our guiding and in our going aright, we find ourselves doing all those things that are beautiful and good. Today, let this be your goal, as it is mine all the time, to walk the path of our inner awareness. And our outer is a flower of great fragrance and great beauty, for we have found the inner resource, which is the allness of our life. It's a wonderful thing. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.